Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on August 28th of 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk a bit about the stuff we've been watching on TV, mostly anime stuff. Some of it is even on Toonami.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so we do have some news about, so this week we have nothing new on Toonami. Just they're just going to reshow Housing Complex C and some episodes of The Promised Neverland, which some people say, oh yeah, they go together. They're both kind of horror themed series that had a weird ending. We'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, after that, they're going to have Made in Abyss season 2. Because the movie what was the name of the movie, like Dawn of the something, one of the movies is apparently like basically you eat required watching between the seasons, or you either have to watch it or you have to, like, you know, read a synopsis of it so you know what's going on. So we're going to be checking that out in the week Toonami is off, and then we'll be talking about that next week along with the other shows we've been watching. What was the name? Oh yeah, Dawn of the Deep Soul. The other movies are just compilations of the show. You don't need them. So we'll be checking that out. Right. And, we also kind of decided in between podcasts, oh yeah, let's start watching Spy Family again. Cause it turned out I was stupid and they were releasing the dub and I just didn't know they were. Because I thought, oh, they'll make a big announcement about it. But I think they only do that for the premiere of a new show when they announce it. They don't just, for when it comes back, they don't apparently bother to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they don't bother to tell you enough that I saw it. So yes, we do have an episode of Spy Family. So if you want, don't want to get spoiled, you might want to pause, listen to it, watch it, and then, come back. Okay. But first, we've got the Housing Complex C and the other Toonami stuff to watch. Heck, you could listen. You could go and watch that episode of Spy Family now while you're listening to us. It'll probably take us half an hour to get to it, or less. But all right, let's just get into it. Housing Complex C, episode 4, the end. So this was, I would say, the best episode of Housing Complex C for both the right and the wrong reasons. Right in that some stuff happened, and I'll admit a few things were kind of cool to see. Wrong in that it was pretty funny unintentionally at points. Especially, so we start out the episode. A third of the episode about is just a guy giving a monologue.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud at this when I was watching it. Just, wow. It legitimately felt like they were thinking, okay, man, we've got, 13 episodes. We're going to, build up stuff pretty slowly. It might be a little boring, but, yeah, we're going to really, build things up so that they, so that we'll have a great conclusion. And then someone said, but after they finished the first three episodes, sorry, you've been cut to 4 episodes. And they're like, oh, I guess we'll just cover all this with exposition then. Mm. It legitimately felt like they thought they had more episodes than they did. This was the sort of thing you might see in a manga series that got abruptly canceled, where they just have to fit everything into the last few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so after we get through that, and I'll be honest, I kind of stopped paying attention after a little while.
I'm guilty of that too.
After that, we find out that one of the girls, Yuri's parents were apparently trying to kill, they were a cult or something, and they were trying to reawaken the god or something, so they were killing people. And then Yuri's like, hi, we'll kill Kimi because I guess she hated her or something. But then it turned out that Kimi actually is the god person, and she's like, you guys are idiots for doing all of that. And after doing a bunch of lecturing, just kills them. And apparently Time Loop somehow came into this all. I'm not sure. And then one of the only person who apparently makes out of the whole thing is one of the foreign guys who lives, I guess. And I'm not even going to try to get into more of this episode because I didn't understand a bunch of it myself. But oh man, like I said, that opening where it's just a monologue felt like comedic to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what much to say about it. It's hard to explain. This is just a really weird way to end the season. And I didn't understand it. I kind of lost attention at the same time you did, because of the whole monologue thing. I don't know. I guess they wanted something scary for Halloween. I don't know. But this is going to be the first show that we've watched that never gets a top three from me. Hmm. Even today's menu for the Emiya family got into the top three one time. Hmm. Housing Complex C does not.
Yeah, I did actually see someone did put a post on this place that kind of explained a few things a little more to me. I won't be going through all of it, but basically, it was just there were a few things on this episode like after we get through the monologue and we have stuff happen, it's more interesting because stuff is happening. It's kind of confusing, but there are a few parts. The part where Kimi, like, you know, Yuri's like going, "Ah, I've hated you. Now I get to kill you." And Kimi's like, "Yeah, haha. I already preemptively killed your parents because I'm actually the demigod or whatever." You know, that part was actually legitimately kind of creepy and cool. It's just, you know, most of the rest. But then, you know, it just gets kind of confusing and yeah. I guess the other thing I alluded to it before, because I've seen like some comments, oh, well, you know, they needed a few more episodes. The problem is the first three episodes were paced pretty slowly. So I feel like if you had done that stuff faster, maybe you could have expanded this out to a second episode while still having four total episodes. And, you know, it wouldn't have felt quite as rushed and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand the purpose of this series except that they wanted something spooky for Halloween season. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, it had an ending that, you know, I'm thinking, was this ending crazier than Fena's ending or less? Because they both went kind of insane at the end.
Yeah, but Fena's ending kind of made sense. The entire show never made any sense to me. Plus, I don't know a single person's name. That's how bad they did at introducing characters that I can't remember any of their names.
Yeah, so it wasn't... It's definitely a thumbs down, but like I said, this was the best episode for some of the reasons it was the best episodes were the right reasons. Not enough to make this great, but still better. And some of the reasons it was the best episode were very not the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's Housing Complex C. We'll move on then to Yashahime episode 36. We get, let's see, yeah, we do the whole, Toa's been captured, we get some flashback stuff from her. I'm not exactly sure how, because we find out about how, you know, Kagome's brother, like, kind of just adopted her, and I'm like, can you just do that? Like, because she was just a random girl on the on like the street? Can you just do it? Is it because you found her first? Is there like a finder's keeper's rule for adoption? Maybe there is. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. So yeah, so we got over. Yeah, so Toa's captured. They're basically trying to make her sad and angry because they can absorb power or something. Setsuna gets told, hey, you should maybe go and try to do something about that. And then, let's see. Right, anyway, Toa ends up getting super angry and stuff, but then it's... I can't remember. Did Setsuna show up or was it Riku who was stopping her? I think it was Riku.
Yeah.
He shows up and was like, no, you will not. This is like the Star Wars thing. You know, when Luke isn't supposed to kill the Emperor, although then when he refuses, the Emperor was going to kill him and he was only saved by Darth Vader. So I'm not sure how all that was supposed to fit into the moral, but... anyway, then Zero, like, just decides, okay, well, now's the time to, I guess, absorb all the rainbow pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was my kind of, as usual, scattered explanation of this.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode, actually. I enjoyed a lot of the stuff with the flashback with Toa and, some of the stuff with Setsuna, too. I just thought it was overall a pretty strong episode. I'm still a little confused over who's the ultimate bad guy, but it was a good episode. I'll say that.
I will say that. Maybe I'm just dumb for never noticing it, but in this episode, like before, but in this episode particularly, I was just really like, oh wow, Toa's voice sounds just like Gon's from Hunter x Hunter. I mean, I know it's the same voice actress, but I just never noticed that. And this one, I'm like, oh wow, she sounds just like Gon in this scene whenever Gon gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess just that brief comment. All right. So yeah, pretty decent episode. This, Yashahime season 2 is a very big improvement over the first on a whole so far. How far are we in it? Let's see. We are. It looks like okay. We're a little more than halfway through the second season. Still a decent amount to go. All right, moving on to One Piece. Episodes 592 to 593. So the bad guys, the Yeti Cool Brothers, like, show up and they're, like, you know, attack. And then, oh yeah, Brownbeard is like, ha, they've come to save me. And they're like, no, the guy you were working for is actually evil. He just ordered us to kill you. And then he gets his flashback and he was like, oh no, the guy I thought was great was actually evil. You know, another case of, well, I'd say this is like a death by flashback, but not sure if he actually is dead. Probably not because it's One Piece.
Yeah.
Anyway, they end up, they get that, they end up going to, then some of the other straw hats. the P and the difference between the H and the P sound in Japanese is you just put a little circle in the upper right hand corner of the symbol. Anyway, they end up going and fighting them, and then surprisingly quickly, for the build-up they got, it seems like the Yeti Cool Brothers just get beaten. And this is in the anime, too. I was like, oh, wow, that took, like, one episode? In the One Piece anime? That was fast!
Yeah. Yeah, so everyone's still mixed up with their bodies and voices, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's mostly just an excuse to, like, depower them a bit.
Mm.
Because, like, obviously people are not going to be as good at fighting in someone else's body.
Yeah. And also to have a little bit of fan service-y fun, you know?
Well, that's more respect for a Smoker and Tashigi, because they do that, and Smoker's like, well, I guess I'll just keep my shirt open like I do with my regular body. which... That felt like it was just there for fan service stuff. The Straw Hats at least felt like it was, you know, just a crutch so that they can't just, you know, blast their way through everything. Except it didn't happen to Luffy, so, you know, he's still able to handle everything.
Yeah. I wanted to say that for some odd reason, I turned on Naruto this week. And just was re-watching episodes of it. And I guess Naruto got knocked out or something because Sakura is, like, desperately trying to keep him alive. And that's pretty much all I got out of it. I don't know what's going on. I was just like, wow, this must be something major.
Let me look up what the episodes were they had. I'm mostly wondering about whether it was filler or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Naruto, you got about a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is four. That was episode, I think, 415 and 416. It's... Oh, yeah. No, this isn't filler. This is actual stuff. It looks... like, I think maybe it's it doesn't look like it's filler off a quick look, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we got that. This thing does say there are anime original episodes, because there's a part where a bunch of characters get caught in these sort of like dream stuff. And, you know, it was just a quick thing in the manga. I'm going to assume, based on that, they decided to devote entire episodes to showing those in the anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when Tenten gets beaten off screen in the manga by Tamari, but the anime devoted an episode to it. All right. Anything else about One Piece?
No, not really.
Okay. I also finally realized, oh yeah, Law, that's totally Jotaro's voice. Not exactly, but close enough, so I got that. Alright, that's the Toonami stuff. Then we've got, we move on to, Licorice Recoil, and we're on episode 10? Yeah, 10. So basically the bad, let's see. So they're shutting down the store place, and two of the other characters seem like they leave, but they'll probably show up again in the last few episodes. Anyway, the bad guy, Majima, launches his evil plan into action, which is because he's so annoyed about the Licorice, you know, taking care of everything, secretly, he decides to take all the guns he had, like he stole, and distribute them around the area and send this big thing saying, hey everyone, grab them and do stuff you want with them. They won't be able to cover it up. Which, okay. And to try to, like, expose them. And then the DA wants Chisato to go to try to take care of it, and Chisato also finds out that what's his name, the person that she was like super like thought was great but then wasn't, found out he wasn't, but then they have to go and save him anyway. Yeah, that's the episodes. Yep.
So what's this whole thing about Chisato is going to die?
Oh, remember that she had the artificial heart, but the bad guys hit her with that thing that made it so the battery couldn't replenish?
Yeah, I'm just wondering why that kind of never got brought up this episode.
Oh, right. Oh, what? Oh, you mean the fact it wasn't brought up? Okay, never mind. Right. I misunderstood. Yeah. I thought you were confused about that. No, I was thinking, didn't they devote an episode? Okay. Yeah. All right. I guess they didn't really mention it.
I just would expect she would approach life a little differently if she knew she was going to die, you know? I mean, I don't think it would be that important to get new things on the menu, you know?
Well, it did establish that she, even with the artificial heart, probably wasn't going to live that much longer. This thing just caused it, like, the timetable to be accelerated.
I see.
So, yeah, that was a kind of fun episode. I'm still... Have we... The hacker guy who always wears that thing over his head, have we ever seen his face yet?
You mean Walnut?
No, not Walnut. The other hacker. The bad guy hacker.
Oh, no. I don't think we have.
Okay. Yeah, I'd assume we didn't, because if we did, I don't think he'd always be wearing it. Although... Then again, that one character from Demon Slayer, the one who always has, like, the pig head over him, like, we saw his face, and he still kept wearing it afterwards, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're coming to... I guess I just don't really have too much else to say about it, but yeah, we're coming to the end. We got only 3 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Licorice Recoil. Then we get on to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, or Stone Ocean, episodes 3 and 4. So, Jolene gets a visitor. This kid who's just in the prison for some reason tells her, hey, don't go to meet the visitor. Bad things will happen. But, you know, she kind of has to anyway. But he gives her this sort of weird... like fossil thing it looked like. Anyway, it's Jotaro, who she's not kind of angry with. Anyway, then the bad guy attacks with the stand that can detects people based on air movements or something like that, which seems kind of similar to that notorious Chase. Well, actually Notorious B.I.G., but they had to call it Notorious Chase from last season. Mm-hmm. They end up managing to defeat it, but then it turns out that, no, that was all just a dream. And the actual attack apparently is that something put them to sleep and is dissolving them.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go.
Yeah, the first episode I found to be more interesting because of that whole thing about her letting someone borrow a dollar and then not getting the dollar back, and then the whole thing there. I thought that was a pretty entertaining bit, but the second episode was so confusing. And this whole thing that it's all just a dream, I mean, that seems like a real cheap shot. And I don't know, it wasn't as good as the first episode.
I liked both, but it did feel a little weird to, like, have us go through the stand battle and say, no, that wasn't actually, none of that actually happened. It actually has a different power. It almost felt like the author, you know, wrote the whole thing. It's like, oh, this is really cool. Then he thought, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't kill off the guy who's apparently the main villain this quickly. Okay, it was just a dream. in its final arc, Bleach pulls something like this also, where there's this battle, and they have the battle, and, you know, the good guys are winning, and then this person shows up going, oh no, the person you were fighting, they weren't your real enemy, they were just something I made. I'm the actual enemy, and the whole everything you just went through was ultimately kind of pointless in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a little weird. The series does that kind of like, it kind of felt like he just wanted to have the stand battle, but couldn't figure out how to actually fit it into like the series, I guess. But yeah, it was otherwise. Yeah, it was fun. It was good. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, I just hope these stand battles aren't as confusing as this one was. It was just really confusing to tell what exactly happened and what was, you know, imaginary. So, I really like Jolene as a character. She and old man Joestar are probably my favorite JoJos.
Yeah, she is kind of fun. It's it's been a good season so far.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what season had the best start. Or what a part, I guess, because parts one and two were one season.
Mm-hmm.
Part one might have I've seen some of these so long ago I can't even remember. It does seem like this season has kind of jumped into things a little faster, though.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got that. And then we'll move on to Spy Family. And, wow, I think you, when I meant it sort of as a joke when I said you could have just watched the episode while you listened to the podcast. But I guess I think we might have actually made it
mm-hmm.
to that. All right, so we got Spy Family, episode 15. So Anya wants to get a dog, and they go to the dog place. But Lloyd has to run off to deal with the mission. Anya ends up, however, getting mixed up with a bunch of terrorist guys who are planning to use dogs to blow stuff up. One of the dogs, it turns out, apparently has the power to see the future, so she's able to escape with it, except then the dog, I like the part where she's, like, riding it, and it's, like, acting all, like, triumphant and cool about how they're totally saved the day, but then the dog just has ended up going right back to where they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And things seem really bad for Anya, but then Yor shows up and pretty much literally like kicks the guy like a pinball so that he just like a pinball, like just hits the walls
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And then Yor has, of course, completely misunderstood the situation and thinks that Anya is being abducted to be a child bride. That was our episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good way of getting back into the whole Spy Family thing, although I kind of wish that Twilight hadn't been taken away from his quote-unquote family, because it just seems to be better whenever he's with them. But I did like your making that big rescue of Anya. And Anya had some pretty funny lines in this episode, too. And, except the one thing that hurts this episode is the use of dogs as, like, bombs. That's kind of a gross-out type of thing. So, I know JoJo used to use stuff like that. I don't approve of that. So that is my negative thing about it for the week.
Well, technically, I mean, they were planning to use the dogs. They haven't actually done it yet. Whereas with JoJo, the dogs just die. Although, despite the, like, you know, the stereotype about it, like, I saw this one person who made this little, like, JoJo parody brief thing where someone, like, tries to shoot the person who says, shoots at the protagonist who survives and says, "Don't worry, it only hit my head and went through three dogs on the way." But, although that JoJo kind of stopped that, I think, so, but... Yeah, this was a fun episode, the way it brought back. I really liked the English voice actor for Anya, her performance in this one. She sounds just much more kind of like goofy and young, I think. Like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
She was kind of like that before, but this episode like really was going with it, and I thought that was pretty fun. Like, just the delivery and stuff was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when Lloyd has to, like, to pretend to get away, has to pretend to go to the bathroom. So, and Anya reads his mind to know that it's a mission. So she just says, "Oh, he spends a really long time on the toilet. We should just leave him." And so, yeah, that's a good start to this core, C-O-U-R, as they say. Where did that term even come from? People start using that so often for anime now, and I don't even know where it is. Is it like a French word or something?
What are you talking about?
Core. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. C-O-U-R is what people use to refer to. You know, there's four of them in each year. It's a length of like 13 episodes for an anime, usually. Yeah, not popping it up. I guess that's just what people call it in anime. You know, like what people will say, especially when they've got like a season, but they split it up. So you say, "Oh, they're split up into two cores."
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Okay, I was confused. Okay, yeah. Basically arcs, you know.
It's not specifically arc though, because I think it's because there's four of those each year. So like the stuff. So if something airs from like, for 13 episodes from fall until winter, that's one core, and then. Like, and if it's like a full, if it lasts for 26, you say, "Oh, that's two cores." Okay, I'm just going to search it out. C-O-U-R. Oh, wow. Second thing on this says the origins of it and what it means for anime. Okay. It's, let's see, looking. Okay, that's interesting, but I just want to know where the, okay, here's where it comes from. Oh, okay. It comes from that, it's a Japanese term I guess it's just an anime exclusive thing. Yeah, it's a mystery as to why people use core over kuru, because that's what it was in Japanese, kuru, but we just somehow got core because I guess maybe it comes from France. I just think the word is weird because it sounds like I'm saying the actual regular English word core is, you know, like the heart or of something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine when you're typing it, but when you say it out loud, it sounds weird. Yeah, this site, if you search it, if you do a search for like the thing is on like Live About, has a nice explanation of it. But yeah, it's one of the first ones that pops up on a search. Okay, so there we've gotten all of that. Okay, that's our anime discussion then.
Yep.
Okay, I guess we can give the top three stuff.
Yeah.
As usual, I'm not very good at setting this stuff up.
I'll go to mine then.
I know my top two. I'm just having trouble with my third. Yeah, you go first.
My third place show for this week is Spy Family. Second place show is Yasuhime. And in the top spot for the second straight week is JoJo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I knew that my first would be JoJo and my second would be Spy Family. Third was a little harder between Licorice Recoil and Yashahime. I think I will give it to sorry. I think I will give it to Yashahime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's our anime stuff. So, yeah, for next week, there's no Toonami, but we'll still be watching. You know, we got the regular lineup, which for now is Licorice Recoil, Spy Family, and two episodes of JoJo. And also the Made in a Miss... Made in a... I keep mispronouncing this episode. I don't know why. I said Made in a Miss. Made in Abyss... Dawn of the Deep Soul, unless something horribly goes wrong and we don't watch it, but that's what the current plan.
Right.
And yeah, then we'll, have that all ready, and yeah, nothing else to really add to that. And, yeah, anything else you wanted to say about anime stuff?
No, we can move on to The Amazing Race.
Okay.
And I wanted to say that I got my prediction right whenever I said that the team that contracted COVID was going to get thrown out of the game. I got that one right. So finally got a prediction right. But yeah, they got thrown out of the game just because they tested positive for COVID, which... I have some feelings about that, but I won't share them here. This episode then felt kind of pointless because it was a non-elimination leg, and everyone knew it was a non-elimination leg. So, yeah, that just ruined the episode completely. It was kind of pointless, and I guess, yeah, you're going to end up leaving last. And that's going to hurt you, but that isn't like, I mean, if they wanted to eliminate someone, they should have just eliminated them instead of doing this thing where, oh, they're going to be so far back that they can't come back. That just makes next episode even possibly even less interesting because you'll know the whole time who's probably going to go home. Now, hopefully, what I'm hoping for is for that last team to make a huge comeback and survive at least one more week. That's what I'm hoping for. So we'll see if my hope is right. But also... one other thing is that The Amazing Race will be moving up because the Real Love Boat has been yanked from the air and The Amazing Race is now on right after Survivor. So,
Thanks for telling me that. I didn't even know that. It's I'm looking up. Yeah, it says they moved it to Paramount Plus. Yeah, I guess it just wasn't very popular. I wasn't watching it, so I don't know. But then again, maybe that's the thing.
Well, the ratings were lower than The Amazing Race, even though it was before The Amazing Race. So I think CBS probably felt like it was killing The Amazing Race. So they got it out of there and put, now The Amazing Race can ride Survivor's coattails because Survivor is the highest rated show on Wednesday night, even more than The Masked Singer. So,
it was one of those romance reality show things, which... I don't know. I know some people really like some of those things, especially like The Bachelor. Although my opinion has always been like, well, you know, I can tell you that if there's ever some girl out there for me is probably not the kind of person who would go on a reality show to try to find a partner.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I guess the only people who, you know, will, I'd say you, it would be kind of, the people who go on those are kind of weird, not the kind of people you'd want to be in a relationship with. But then again, the other person is also on it. So maybe, you know, it just works out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll always remember the show who, one called Who Wants to Marry My Dad? And the thing is, it's about this guy and you know, all these other women, except instead of him choosing who to get rid of, like, his daughters do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it only lasted 2 seasons and I never really watched it, so heck if I know if it's, but I don't know, for some reason it always just reminds me of that. Maybe just because its name sounds like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in regards to this episode, yeah, you got a point in that, you know, knowing it was a non-elimination leg was maybe an issue. And then, of course, there is the fact that, again, yeah, they're at a detriment, but the problem is once you do that, it just makes it more likely they'll be eliminated, so there seems less suspense. There's this one episode a long time ago, I remember, where one team... So it was a non-elimination leg, but they checked in, like, so late because they were really behind everyone else, and then they didn't complete the task, so they took a 4-hour penalty on top of that. So for the next episode, you just saw the other teams, you know, going and doing all this stuff, and then you just saw this quick montage of that remaining other team going through all the stuff at the, at the end, and then they lost again, but they were like so far behind that I feel like I read that all the other teams had like finished the leg before they even that last team even arrived in the city.
Wow,
they were that far behind.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I mentioned, here's something kind of funny. So I am always on the lookout for, hey, here's stuff that you should make sure you learn before you go on The Amazing Race. And number one is always learn how to drive a stick shift. But I was also, when someone was mentioning, oh, none of the signs are in English, I was thinking, okay, that's a good one. Learn the alphabet of other languages. You know, learn like the alphabet for Greek and Arabic and Cyrillic. That's the one that, like, you know, Russian and some other languages are used in. You know, so that way, even if you don't know the language, you can at least, you know what the sounds are, and you might be able to figure stuff out. And then one of the tasks was reciting, memorizing and reciting the Arabic alphabet from memory. I was like, yeah, if you had done that, you would have breezed right through this.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something. I feel like I should like try to learn more of these alpha bets just to know them. The only ones I know in the Latin alphabet, obviously. I know Japanese. I mostly know Greek, but not other ones. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
I was saying you and I should go on The Amazing Race with all the information we know.
Yeah.
We'd have a pretty good story. That's all that matters, is having a good story. That's what people care about more than are you actually good at racing. They just want you to have a cool story.
Well, if I were going on The Amazing Race, I definitely would try to learn some of those things. Like Arabic would be a big one to learn, because you're usually going to go into at least one country that has that. That would be especially useful simply on the basis that those would be places where there would be less English around, I guess you could say. Like if you go to Greek, I assume a lot of the population is going to know at least some level of English.
Mm-hmm.
In talking. Although then again, the thing about Arabic, as I understand it, is that So the written form is modern standard Arabic, but no one actually, well, very few people actually speak that. They just speak all these different dialects of it. It's, from my understanding, it's kind of like people writing in Latin but speaking the Romance languages. Like, the only written form of Arabic is modern standard Arabic, but no one actually speaks that. Which is kind of weird, is the situation. But, yeah. Maybe I'm getting stuff wrong. I probably should shut up because I'm going mostly on, like, what I've heard. Yeah, so that was that episode. It was interesting, though. It's a shame that none of the teams actually knew the Arabic alphabet, because that would have been funny. You just go there and go, okay, da-da-da-da-da, done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arabic writing system. I do know this, that it's a more annoying to learn, because most of the letters have four different versions of them.
Mm.
Like, you thought English was annoying in that you had lowercase and uppercase letters. Well, Arabic... there, for most of the letters, there's a few that only have two, but most of them, you have a version you use when it's at the start of the word, a version you use when it's in the middle of the word, a version you use when it's at the end of the word, and a version you use when it is, by itself, its own word.
Mm.
Or something like that. And so that's a lot of stuff to remember. Last comment, it is funny that after they announced there will be no non-elimination legs. Oh, here's a non-elimination leg.
Yeah.
Because they were really pushing no non-elimination legs. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, there is one.
Mm-hmm. And that very awkward thing where Phil is like, the last team to finish here, or the last team to meet me here, we'll leave 45 minutes behind everyone else. It sounded so bad, and it was kind of embarrassing. They sort of just said it was a non-elimination leg. I mean, it's like to say, psych, we decided that we'll have one after all, thanks to the COVID bug. So, yeah.
Yep, and... that's it, I guess, for our discussion on the Amazing Race. We're halfway through the season at this point.
Yeah,
anything else to say about it, or shall we just finish?
That's about it. We can finish up now.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next week with the stuff that we talked about before, and we'll try to do better that time.
Bye, me.